Welcome to the Something New Virtual Summit. This is all brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of our favorite speakers, who was even our main stage speaker for our last conference, Mr. Fox Spire. Fox, would you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. My name's Fox Spire, as she said. And if you heard me before, I'm going to do things a little bit differently. I'll give you a little perspective on what it's like to walk in my shoes. And that's my something new for this summit. So here it goes. It's 6 a.m. The alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. Well, I am grateful for this iPad mini, a gift from my Somerset Patriot family. I know its alarm clock is not its primary intended use. So I want to punch it, but I don't. I do the next best thing. I hit snooze twice in the next 10 minutes. And then I hear Coach Tanner's words in my head, off your butt and on your feet. Gotta get up so we can eat. I oblige. As I begin to put my right leg on the ground and my foot on the ground, I see the north end of a scar that goes all the way up to my hip. A product of a 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy surgery, in which metal pins were inserted in my legs, all in the effort that I'd walk less knock-kneed. Well, I put my left foot in the ground, and the first thing that happens is that my knees kiss together for the first time of many times that day. I look down at both of them and I think, boy, you boys have really gotten to know each other well over the past bunch of years. Captive of my body, this thing has got me. Sitting here in the chair, so begins the unfair. Thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. I begin to walk to the bathroom to shower. Every step brings with it a memory. This time it's pew, pew, the sound a morphine machine makes, injecting morphine goodness into my sliced and broken body after my 1990 hamstring transfer surgery. I get into the bathroom and step into the shower. As I do this, I hold on to things more than gently to get in the shower because, as I joke to myself, I'm jacked up enough. I want to keep these teeth. And as I bathe, I see all my scars. Each one of them carries with it a reminder. Heel cord extension, hamstring transfer, hip osteotomy, testicle removal, chest tube. I get out of the shower, again, holding on to things more than gently because I want to keep my teeth. I towel off. I groom myself. And the last thing that I do is I put contact lenses into my eyes. And I am reminded when I do that, that I cannot focus on one object with both eyes at the same time. Product of being cross-eyed at birth, some eye surgeries, and playing baseball in the backyard at grandmother's house. I look myself in the mirror. I step back. It's 6:30 in the a.m., and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror. He looks back at me and says, have you done all you can do? Are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given? As would say, decent son, do you realize the responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. And no matter there are no cameras and that you're alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world. But I always see the truth. I walk out of the bathroom, into my bedroom to get dressed, picking up each foot just high enough so I don't trip and fall flat on my face. And again, each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's 2 days post-hip osteotomy surgery. My legs are bandaged, not casted yet, and they are sliced and broken at the hips. My surgeon, Dr. Harold M. Dick, comes in and says, Fox, it's time to put weight on your feet. With my dad holding me from behind, I take my first steps post-surgery. While it's hard to describe the amount of pain that came with each step, it's impossible to describe the euphoria of walking again. I sit down to get dressed. As a general rule, this takes me four times as long as it does for the average bear. No big deal. The hardest part is my shoes. I do this with my left foot with few problems. The right foot, however, is much harder. As I do this, I look out into my parking lot to my right, and I see my neighbor go to get into his car. Before he does that, he bends down on one knee and ties his shoe in 2 seconds flat. I sigh. I look to my right. I can picture my mother telling me as a six-year-old, "Fox, you have CP. You walk funny. That's it." Blunt, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people that have it tougher than I do for millions of reasons. Take Andre, for instance. Andre was my roommate when I was in rehab in 1990 for my hamstring transfer surgery. For his 21st birthday, Andre was given a motorcycle. Shortly thereafter, he took it out for a spin without a helmet on, went over a couple of wet leaves, and the first thing he hit when he crashed was his head. So Andre stood in front of me, 21 years old, without any access to his long-term and short-term memory, and was prone to violent mood swings. For example, one day his mother would walk in, and Andre would be lovey-dovey the entire time, kissing and hugging on her the entire day. The next day, he'd launch into profane-laced tirades, asking me who this person was trying to enter the room. There was also Jerry, my roommate, when I was in rehab for my hamstring transfer surgery. At 16 years old, Jerry went out in the middle of the day on his bicycle to get some groceries for his mother when he was hit by a drunk cab driver. He too, like Andre, was a head trauma and lost access to his long-term and short-term memory and prone to violent mood swings. So yeah, I believe I can tie my right shoe. I do this. I stand up. I stare straight ahead. I think about how during this day, perception is going to get mixed with reality. And I can picture myself as a seventh grader sitting in the boys' locker room after gym class. We had just run around the track and were timed in doing so. A classmate was going around comparing his times with other classmates. He gets to me, I begin to say my time, and he says, "Fox, you don't count." In that moment, I stand up taller and say, "Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like a nicknamed scarecrow. Inside, what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times. I can't tell you this, no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover. I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled, my body wants to go fetal. In my life, I have seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do, just for fun. But I've got to be careful because every step could lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes, specks for ears they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync, no matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I grab my belongings and walk out the door. The first thing that I have to do is go down a flight of stairs to get to my car, which sits in my garage. CP, cerebral palsy, does not make going up or down stairs easy. But again, I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people that have it tougher than I do for millions of reasons. I go back to my roommates after my hamstring transfer surgery in rehab, Reggie. At 14 years old, Reggie stole a car and crashed into a telephone pole. So then, in 1990, he sat in front of me in a wheelchair, a paraplegic, unable to walk. There was also Michael, who at 15 years old, walked into his parents' bedroom at night and said he had a headache. He passed out. Michael had a brain aneurysm. So in 1990, in his hospital bed, he lied in front of me, 15 years old, in a diaper, unable to move, unable to talk. So I believe I can get down these flight of stairs. I hold on the rails to keep from flying. Man, you know I ain't lying. Sometimes I laugh to keep from crying. Every day I keep on fighting. Legs entangled, hips entangled, knees entangled, feet so entangled. I get into my car, this time right leg first. And this time I cannot see the north end of a scar that goes up to my hip because, well, I'm wearing pants, long pants. I begin to drive. Somewhere along my drive to work, I make a left-hand turn. And when I do this, a baseball rolls out of a glove that I have in my trunk. That glove was given to me by Brandon Clausen, an ex-major league pitcher, who gave it to me in 2007 as a thank you for throwing batting practice to his Columbus Clipper teammates. I am so thankful of all the places that white ball has taken me. And I am so thankful that throwing a baseball has had nothing to do with how quickly I get dressed. I think about all the places that white ball has taken me. Countless of hours of baseball in the backyard with my siblings. Countless hours of throwing a baseball, a tennis ball, in a park, off a wall, on a beach, in a street. Over 100 innings pitched in high school. A first pitch thrown at Yankee Stadium in 1997. Somehow, some way, my left arm and that baseball got me to the University of South Carolina, where in 2000 and 2002, we were SEC champions. In 2002, we made an appearance in the College World Series. Somehow, some way, that baseball on my left arm helped me become the bench coach for the Somerset Patriots, a professional baseball team in the Atlantic League, where in 2008, 9, and 15, we're Atlantic League champions. Again, all of those places that white ball has taken me. Good evening, arena sold out with doubters. I stand before you completely empowered. I am so excited to hear the volume of deafening silence coming from the room. Don't tell me, I know your stance. I can't and I won't and I have no chance. It's you and me running the mile. All you see is my back and you're in denial. Running is over, it's time to wrestle. You're the alpha and I'm nothing special. The whistle sounds and we're on the mat. You're pinned at a half minute, so take that. You have the bat and I have the ball. Double or nothing, and once and for all. This battle, it wasn't close. You thought me a loser, and you misdiagnosed. I pull into the parking lot, where I'm a Spanish teacher at a local high school. I drift off. I picture myself at the beach, and I wake up from a short slumber. I have to get up. And no, it's not because the alarm clock on my iPad mini went off. I have to go pee. I look behind me. My parents' beach condo sits about a quarter mile away. I look in front of me. The ocean, just feet within my grasp. I stand up, my knees kiss together, and I say, well, the whole world's a bathroom. I pull into the parking lot. This time, getting out of the car, it's left leg first, then right. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's a few days post-surgery in 1990. My surgeon, Dr. Nuzzo, walks into the room. He's dressed in plaid from head to toe. And he's doing all these weird coordination exercises, like tapping his head while rubbing his stomach. He asks me, Fox, how are you doing? You're making great progress. As he says this, my body, all sliced up from the surgery, goes into a spasm, and I feel like I have been lifted from my hospital bed to the ceiling, and I come back down way less than gently. Great, I say. Never been better. I have never told a bigger lie in my life. I begin to walk toward the school building. Step, your idol no more. Step, pick yourself up off the floor. Step, get up out of your seat. Step. You will not lie there in defeat. Step, in mind and body a winning tranquility. Step, without movement there is no possibility. Step, each pace equals a seed. Step, in the world's largest sequoia tree. Step, one by one they'll amass. Step, Corfield passes down victory path. As I approach the entrance of the school, I see myself in the door's reflection. And I am amazed that no matter how old I get, I am a man. And for the longest time, I have never been able to buy a pair of pants that fit me. I pay no attention to my gait in this moment. I open the door for a couple of female colleagues, and I am amazed at the amount of bags they are carrying. Because as you know, for me, walking without anything is a conscious act of will. And the word without rings in my head because I know the less I have, the more worry-free I am. I enter the school building, and negative echoes of my high school experience ring in my head. I hear things like, "Hey, crippled creep," and "You don't look like a senior." I look around, and I see so many kids trying to be cool. And I know in this moment that regardless of what curriculum and content I am ordered to teach, my main job is to make my students realize that from the moment they were conceived, they were designed to be different. So why on earth would you try to act like somebody you're not? Are you trying to stand out, but sure your twin is out there, no doubt? They wear what you wear and they do what you do. Your carbon copy, nothing new. But let me ask you this. Do they have your tone, your heartbeat, your mission? Remember, it's impossible to measure what lies within. With so many similar variables, remember how you were made. So have no fear. Your individuality is saved. I walk toward the auditorium, and I look in it. I know that was a place where in the seventh grade, I was chasing around a girl that I had a crush on, and I fell. In this moment, I think of my hands. I think of my therapists, Kathy, Debbie, Mrs. Schumbler, Jose, Ted. You see, they knew that as a kid with cerebral palsy, I was going to fall. It was inevitable. So they knew that it was imperative that I get my hands out in front of me because 99.9% of my falls were forward, and this would help me and protect me from further harm. My hands, they've been there many times. In 1997 at Yankee Stadium, when I fell on the top step of the dugout. In August of 1997, at the University of South Carolina on campus, my friend Brett, I fell, face first, my hands out in front of me, when Brett was inviting me to his family's home for Thanksgiving dinner. And my hands were there, in 2002, during the player introductions of the College World Series. I look at my hands, and I know that my life has not been about not trying to fall every day. It's about being always and always trying to get back up, and that my life has been less about pain and more about beauty. I unlock the door to my room. I see two things in my eyes path, wires, entangled wires and crumbs. I think of my dad. You see, for 17 years, Dad worked in the fire protection business, and I can recall him saying to me time after time, the number one cause of kitchen fires, of course, is entangled wires and crumbs. I chuckle for a minute. I look outside to a baseball field, and I think of a time where I could have used some fire. Actual fire. It was 1995, and I was playing right field in a JV baseball game. It was so cold outside that if I stopped moving, I wouldn't be able to move at all. But I had a fire to pitch. I wanted to do it every day. And in that game, I got my wish. Coach Irvin waved me into the game. There was one small problem. Surprisingly, it had nothing to do with my entangled gait. My right hand, my glove hand, was almost frozen into a fist because of the cold, and I was having a hard time keeping my glove on it. I got to the mound, and Coach Irvin gave me the ball. I called over my best friend, our third baseman, Luke, and I explained to him the situation. He spent about a half minute trying to put the glove on my hand, but then I knew it was time. A fire burned. It was time for me to pitch. It might be hard to spot talent, but it's harder to spot confidence. Those who have the it, that toughness in abundance. Tell me, who are the ones from when they wake up? It's not about their speed, their power, or their agility. It is their mental makeup that we marvel at with such humility. They're at their best when they feel their worst. Never do they moan, cry, or pout. It's their it, their uncontrollable thirst. About their it, they have no doubt. Ante up, the chips are down. They got them one time and they are lucky. About his it, it has no sound. Next time around, he's the goods. He's the money. Tell me, is it in his food? No. The it is his attitude. The bell rings. The students begin to enter the room. As I look at them and greet them, I think how much I would love to trade. With one stipulation, I wouldn't want to be as dumb as I was when I was their age. I could picture myself in the seventh grade walking out of Mrs. Brockett's history class and going to a classmate's locker and turning its dial. 7, 17, 24. Going into his wallet, taking all of the money in it just so I could eat lunch from the school cafeteria. Retrospect, it always tells the truth. Retrospect, now I see clearly my youth. Retrospect, I was young and I was dumb. Retrospect, or just a kid having fun. Retrospect, dear God, why did I wear that hat? Retrospect, and why did I get angry over that? Retrospect, Mom and Dad, this place, I'm sick of it. Retrospect, Mom and Dad, you're right, now I miss it. Retrospect, I was always looking for something more. Retrospect, now at the time and the place that I most adore. Retrospect, time goes by way too fast. Retrospect, I am so glad to still have a past. As class begins, I am a grammarian at heart. It's all about words, sentences, phrases, verbs, adverbs, direct object pronouns, indirect object pronouns. But I know it doesn't work for everybody. Right then, it wasn't working for anybody. You see, everyone is on their phone. We have all been sucked into this age of technology, including me. But what good does it do if you're Snapchatting with somebody from China? It's the 101st day of class. And because of this, you have no idea your classmate's name in front of you, behind you, to your left, and to your right. Wi-Fi might seem to connect and tie, but it so too began the great divide. Social media looks like a brilliant disguise, but anybody with a soul can read between the lines. Cell phones, tablets, and notebooks took the world so forcefully it shook. And with all these new technologies, to the world were born more bad apologies. I step back in the aisle. I slip on a piece of paper and fall, this time on my back. I look at the piece of paper. It's today's assignment. It was due 15 minutes ago. I want to explode. I want to have a tantrum. But I can't. I have to show my character. So I get up, my knees kissing together along the way. I get up slowly, and I get up for those that can't. Thank you. My name is Fox Beyer. The offer I want to give you to you today is a free copy of my book, Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Evoking the Fire Within. Please, just email me at foxbeyer@gmail.com. That's foxbeyer@gmail.com. Tell me who you are. Tell me you like a copy of the book, and I'd be sure to send it your way. Also, if you believe my story can help somebody else, I will speak at your organization for free. Please log on to my website, foxbeyer.com. That's foxbeyer.com. Thank you, Tanya. Back to you.